on spiritual warfare. We're looking at invisible attacks against Christians, against the local New Testament church. We're going to be very specific tonight. We're just going to cover one. And please pay heed tonight. This is such an important, I think, time of instruction and warning for our church. And as I said this morning, I think we got the greatest ladies in the world. But ladies, there are some things that you are susceptible to. There are some things the devil can get a man more easily on than he can a woman. There are certain things God or the devil can get a woman on that maybe be harder to get a man on. And so don't let your pride lift up tonight. And don't let the devil sit on your shoulder and say, well, they're preachers just picking on women, you know. No, if the Bible addresses something, then what we're supposed to do is look at it and preach it and teach on it. And so I pray that you really open your hearts. Husbands, I want you to listen. You're raising daughters. Many of you are late raising daughters. And you're going to have to understand that if you begin to see these tendencies, you can either let it go and it'll be deeply ingrained in them as they become adults, or you can fix it before it becomes adults. I'm going to say this. A godly, virtuous woman will allow her husband also to lead her in these areas and to sanctify her by the washing of the word, to bring up things without, come on, the claws coming out, and take an offense every time. Allow your husband to be able to say, honey, let's sit down and talk. I'm beginning to notice something that I think is going to hurt our family, going to hurt our church, and something I don't want you to be a part of. And you be able to take that with a good spirit, a sweet spirit, because you know what? Your husband is given there to protect you in some areas. And so we'll read in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Verse number 1, the Bible says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home, to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now, she that is a widow indeed and desolate, trusteth in God, and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. These things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works. If she have brought up children, she have lodged strangers, she have washed the saints' feet, she have relieved the afflicted, she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they cast off their first faith. And withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Well, notice the warning here in verse 15. For some are already turned aside after Satan. For some are already turned aside after Satan. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us, dear Lord, as we teach the word of God. Lord, we want to understand how the wicked one operates. We want to be able to blow the trumpet once again tonight. Right now, the devil's plotting against every Christian family, every marriage, every young person. This is what he does. This is his full-time job. And so, Lord, we need to be aware of his tactics and then wise in our response to them. We pray in Jesus' name, amen, and you may be seated. The invisible attack that we're going to speak on tonight is the attack that Satan launches upon Christian ladies in an attempt to misdirect them and misdirect their energies and pervert the purposes for which God has made them. And so, ladies, the devil wants to corrupt you. He wants to get you to turn aside after him. He does this by misdirecting you from your God-given purposes to his perverted purposes. And so we're going to look at this portion of Scripture and talk about some things that I think, again, every lady needs to be careful of. Satan wants to misdirect young ladies from their first faith. And so if you look at what the Bible spoke of there, the Bible says and warns us that with all they, verse 13, with all they learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle, but tattlers also, busybodies, speaking things that they ought not. And he warns this us against the idea of women being turned away from their divine purpose and be used in a way that would cause harm, not good. So Satan wants to misdirect ladies from their first faith. To cast off means to set aside, disesteem, or neutralize. Satan wants to destroy the sweetness and excitement that every lady experiences when they first get saved. When it's talking about laying aside or turning from their first faith, or their laying aside their first faith, it's talking about that idea of the feeling that you had, the joy that you received, how special it was when you first got saved. And I think this is something that both men and women can be warned against. Hey, could I just have y'all stop and remember your salvation? Can you remember the joy of just having your sins forgiven? Remember the joy of discovering Jesus Christ as your Savior, and then the thrill that followed as you begin to grow in the Lord. You sat under preaching. It was meaningful to you. Your heart was tender to it. There was a sweetness when it came to the time you spent in the Bible and the time you spent in prayer. Hey, can I just warn all of us, don't let your faith grow old and stale. Stay in love with Jesus. What he wants us to do is misdirect us from our first faith, or that faith having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. That first faith is that precious love that we feel for the Lord Jesus Christ upon salvation. Now, I want to bring you back because I forgot about the testimonies, didn't I? Thank you. We'll get them at the end, okay? Don't let me dismiss without doing that. Amen. All right, praise the Lord. You guys off the hook? You off the hook for a little bit? All right, sorry about that. So excited about everything, about the message, and sometimes the preacher is forgetful, so pray for me, all right? Proverbs chapter 2, I want to take you back there. Proverbs chapter number 2, let me take you back there and show you something that I think we'll be using our Bibles. I want you to look at some of the verses that we'll be looking at. We will be in the book of Proverbs if you want to kind of mark that and be ready to go back there. But Proverbs chapter 2, I think this is one of the saddest portions of scriptures in all of the Bible. The Bible warns, of course, this is the Lord's using King David, using Solomon to write down these things, and he's warning his children against certain things. And the Bible talks about the importance of wisdom in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man and from the man that speaketh forward things. That's interesting. The Bible says, you know, one of the reasons you go into the Bible and you get into the Word of God, you seek that wisdom and you learn knowledge. And notice this in verse 10, it's pleasant to the soul, and it'll give you discretion that'll help preserve you. Discretion simply means you can look at a situation, properly evaluate it. You can foresee the evil and hide yourself. You don't just walk into trap after trap. You have some discretion, discernment. Understanding shall keep thee from who? For verse number 12, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things. And notice verse 13. When it's talking about this evil man, it's describing him who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. But wait a minute, you can't leave something that you weren't on. Who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. You know, one of the saddest people in the world is people that were raised under a good, strong Bible preaching church at some time and at some point was walking in the paths of righteousness, but then they get away from it. They leave the path of rightness, uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness. This isn't somebody that was out there wandering in darkness that's never been given the light. This is somebody that was given the light and chose to walk away from it. This is why it's not talking about a sinful man. It's talking about an evil man. And there's a difference. You know, to know what's right and then to choose not to do it. I want you young people to hear me. That's not a light thing. And then he warns also about the strange woman in verse 16. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Now notice this, verse 17. Which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. This is what I started to say that jogged my memory that they, I said, I was going to say, you know, you just came back from camp. And yes, you were supposed to give testimonies. But you know, you made decisions there. And it wasn't just this week of camp as you're growing up. There's adults in this room, all over this room, that went to camps and conferences as young people. And you know what? There's something special and sacred about the relationship between a young person and God. I cover that in my book on masculinity and femininity. But I think there's a sweetness of relationship in your youth. I wouldn't trade what I have now with God for then, but there is something different about, I mean, every decision you make and every level you go to, it's new and it's fresh and it's exciting and it's meaningful. And honestly, you make some of the most important decisions in your youth. And some of you did that again this week. You nailed down some things. You made some decisions about your future. Listen to me, the devil also saw you do it. Now, there's adults all over this room that made similar decisions. You know what they've done? They haven't forsaken the covenants that they've made with their God. They made decisions on purity. They made decisions on faithfulness. They made decisions on separation. Guess what? They're still sitting here today keeping those vows. But that's not true of everybody. Now, 11 years I was youth pastor of Blessed Old Baptist Church. I've gone up, taken our kids to conferences and camps. I've knelt down beside, I can't tell you how many of our young men at an altar somewhere and helped them affirm and pray and listen to prayers and dedication. And the honest truth is, if I was cruel enough, I could stand here and name names and tell you the prayer they prayed and the life they're living now. And folks, that's a wicked thing to do. So wicked doesn't mean I don't love those kids. Sometimes we get this idea, if the preacher ever condemns something, then he must hate the person. No, I love the person. I love them, but I hate the way they're living. I hate it. You know why? Because they made promises. They made vows. They made commitments. They stood up like some of you are going to stand up and gave testimony right here about what God called them to do and wanted them to do and they decided to do and the vows that they made. That's not a light thing. And when somebody's willing to leave that, it seems like they always go into recruit mode. They can't just leave alone. They've always got to try to reach back constantly into the church and pull other people to their lifestyle. And you've got to be aware. The Bible says if you have wisdom, if you have knowledge, it'll give you discretion. You know, you should not have associations with those people. You can pray for them, and you should pray for them. Hey, if you're running into them at Walmart, be nice. But if you're Facebook buddies with them, you're out of your mind. You are out of your mind. If you're Snapchatting with them, you are crazy. Because you know what? They are not your friend. And the honest truth is they're not satisfied with you doing right and them doing wrong. They're going to try to recruit you. They're going to give those little subtle criticisms. You know, I love Pastor Ross. What's the next word? Uh-huh. Yeah. You know, I loved our time at Blessed Hope. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And you know what? Well, you know what? If you wanted to move on down the road, move on down the road. But why do you feel the need to constantly reach back into the church and try to pull other people the direction you've gone? You know why? Because you're a strange woman. You're an evil man. People that are doing that are strange women if they're women, and they're evil men if they're men. And so the Bible says, hey, you better be careful because some are already turned aside unto Satan. I wonder how close. Come on, I can't see it. I don't know it. I don't have that information. I wonder how many women in this room honestly are a month or two walking away from walking out of the will of God. I wonder how many of you have already started, come on, the neck turns the head and you're already working on your husband. Because you want to live a worldly life. You want to turn your back on faithfulness to God. You don't like living a separated life. Okay, you want your weekends to go do whatever you want to do. Now be careful, because some are already turned aside after Satan. And I'm going to show you in the scripture how the devil will use one backslider to create another backslider. Then he'll use two backsliders to team up and create a third backslider. And you know, at some point, a preacher got to step up the pulpit and say, enough is enough. Look at their lives and please tell me why you are listening to them. Why are you listening to them? Okay. All right. I mean, if somebody's living with a man out of wedlock, why are you listening to them as if they're an authority on morality? I mean, have you lost your mind? But, well, they're my friend. They're not your friend. They're not your friend. By the definition the Bible has of friendship, they are not your friend. So be careful about that. Be careful about associations. We're going to get to that, okay? So the devil wants to misdirect ladies from their first faith. And I'm telling you, I'll tell you something I said. I probably said it from the pulpit here. I've said it to other preachers. I've asked other preachers, have you ever lost a man in your church? Well, what do you mean? Has a family ever left because the man let him out? And they'll stop and think, and they'll go, nope. Or they might say, maybe once. Then who's leading them out? A wife or backslidden teenagers? You know, they want to keep little Missy happy. You know, she's not happy all of a sudden. You know, I mean, man, she was this old all the way up to about here. Man, preacher was her best friend. He was the greatest thing in the world, and she wrote him notes. And all of a sudden, you know what? She started engaging in evil communication. She began to let somebody get into her life who began to talk down. And you know who those people are? They're not somebody in a bar that's never been a part of a church. That's not who's wooing our people away. It's people that used to do right, who aren't doing right, and they're on a mission. What in the world? This is why the Bible calls them evil. It's one thing if you want to go mess your own life up. But when you decide you're going to go on a mission and try to drag people from holiness to worldliness, from productivity, to neutralize them so that they no longer are serving God, attending church, bringing people to Christ, and that's a victory? I mean, this group is more excited about causing a faithful church member to backslide than I would be seeing somebody come to Jesus Christ. And they work harder at it. And so what we have to do is, come on, ladies, what you have to do is be aware that this portion of Scripture is blowing the trumpet saying, hey, this probably isn't going to work on your husband, but it could work on you. Okay, you're more susceptible to this. So be careful who you're listening to, okay? Satan wants to misdirect young ladies or ladies from the faith, okay? They want you to stop focusing on the sweetness of your first faith, the joy of your salvation, all of those things. All right, number two, Satan wants to misdirect ladies from good works to idleness. Okay, it's very interesting because we read about widows, and this is all in a portion about widows, and I'm not going to talk about that portion as far as widows and widows indeed, and why we take certain ladies would take certain and support them through the church funds, certain widows that we would support as a church, certain ones that we would not, and the primary teaching that, hey, you know what? If any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he had denied the faith, worse than an infidel. When the Bible's talking about widows and widows indeed, it's talking about widows that the Bible says is desolate. And so there's no other way for them to be supported. You know, the church used to take care of this, not the government. Church used to take care of this, not the government. I'm talking about widows that are widows indeed, desolate, and their families either cannot or will not take care of them. The church stepped up. But the primary is not the church. The primary is the family. And let me say this. The reason we have never had to do that at Blessed Hope Baptist Church is, thank God, you know, for my dad's preaching, the foundation he laid in our continual teaching, that you know what? Your family's your responsibility. And you know what? You need to take care of your family. And so, you know, and again, that's not what I spend time on. We've got these testimonies I forgot we're going to get to, all right? But wait a minute. It's interesting, in verse number 9 and 10. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man. And it talks about, listen, if you're making a decision about the right kind of a lady that you could do this with, well reported of, watch this, verse 10, for good works. She have brought up children. She have lodged strangers. She have washed the saints' feet. She has relieved the afflicted. She has diligently followed every good work. Now I want you to contrast verse 10 to verse number 13. And with all they learned to be, talking about the young widows, why we don't take them. With all they learned to be idle. Okay, there's a difference between idleness. Doesn't sound like that lady in verse number 10 had much idle time. She filled her idle time up with good works in doing good works. Please listen, okay? A virtuous young lady stays busy on purpose. And again, this is a good teaching for young men and young ladies, all of us, but especially ladies. You know what? Because God created you for a different purpose, He created your husband. You know what? You are going to be at home and you're going to have a certain amount of flexibility of schedule. And you know what? You're going to have a certain amount of free time because your husband's out there providing for your family. And you know what? If you're not careful, if you have too much free time, if you are too idle, you know, grandma used to say, come on, idle hands are the devil's workshop. That's true. If you're a young man or a young lady, it's true. One of the things that I think has preserved me and kept me and guarded me and why the devil hasn't got to me the way he's gotten to some people is because I'd probably do more bad stuff if I could find the time, but I can't find a slot for it. All right, I'm kidding. I hope you know I'm kidding. But you know what? You know how you keep from doing bad? You spend so much time doing good, you don't have time to do bad. And by the way, you know what? You know how you avoid evil and you have avoid going down right wrong paths and you avoid some of the sins that we're going to talk about? Stay busy. Stay busy. Ladies, how much idle time do you have? If you've got time to spend a couple hours every day on social media and Facebook, then you are too idle. Well, preacher, I've heard you text out that senders are going through a tough time. I mean, Mrs. Townsley said over there, and one of the reasons I asked Mrs. Dively to go over and to begin to send her letters. Last time we went to see her, she said, boy, it's been a while since I heard from my church. I hate hearing our shut-ins say stuff like that. Well, come on. If you've got time, how many hours did you spend texting on Snapchat or on Facebook in the last 2 weeks? But you can't get to the senders. You can't bake cookies. You can't go sit with Mrs. Townsley. You can't find a bus kid around here that, you know, could use a new dress. Okay, if you don't purposefully fill your life up with positive activities, idleness will take you down a road and begin to get you busy doing things that you should not be doing. It's going to hurt you spiritually. It's going to hurt your family. It's going to hurt your marriage. Stay busy doing right. If you stay busy doing right, you know what? You won't have much time to do anything else. Here's a widow indeed. Who do we take in? How do we gauge this? You know, well reported of for good works. If she have diligently followed every good work, brought up children. Boy, you know what? Have a bunch of kids and spend your life investing in them. You've lodged strangers, washed the saints' feet, relieved the afflicted. Come on, there's nursing homes where people, you know, we can get back in now to most of our nursing homes. You know how lonely they are? Well, preacher, I just wish I had a ministry. I'm giving you one. Okay? I mean, just pick a hall in one of the nursing homes and start tapping on the door and go in and sit beside the bed and talk to the lady and find out her name and ask her about her family and pray with her and read the Bible to her. If her nails need done, stand there and do her nails while you're doing it. Okay? You know, listen, women have always been, because of the way God structured the family, women have always been a primary source of volunteer help in the community and in the church, to be able to do the things that men do not have time to do because they're at work. And you are better suited for doing it when it comes to taking care of other ladies and taking care of children. So if you're not careful and you've got too much idle time, it's going to go towards things and that's the devil's plan, okay? Devil's plan is to begin to point you from good works to idleness. The devil will misdirect ladies from purpose to wandering. Boy, did you see that? You see that in the Bible? Let's look back at there. at verse number 13, and with all they learned to be idle, here it is, wandering from house to house. What are they doing? Going to look for people that don't have food, provide groceries for them, somebody to encourage with a plate of cookies, somebody who hadn't been in church and come by and pray with them, some nursing home, something like that. No, they're going to from house to house for a different reason. Listen, are you wandering? If you look at the purposes of your life, if they're just wandering, or are you really directed onto purposes, okay? Because if you don't have purposes, if you don't fill your calendar on purpose, what are you going to do tomorrow? Ladies, what are you going to do tomorrow? What's on the agenda? What have you got planned? How are you going to fill your life? If you don't have a plan, you don't have a purpose. Who can you help? Who have you been praying over? As you pray over the church prayer list, who has God spoken to your heart about? Who needs encouragement? Who needs help? Who needs encouragement? Who needs help? Who hasn't been visited? Okay, come on. This is your purpose in the church. This is your purpose in life. Okay, you've done enough shopping in the last few months. Take a break. Spend enough time on Facebook. Get off of it. Write a letter. Okay? Come on, we have missionaries of the week. We've got our own in ministry of the week. This is what Christian women are supposed to do. All right, if not, then just tear that out. Am I not teaching the Bible tonight? Okay? Way too much gossip. Way too much talk, idle talk. Way too much slipping around from house to house. You don't even have to go to their houses now. You can just, do it through your texting. Now, what I'm saying is there's a reason I'm blowing a trumpet against this. This is not a light sin. This will cause, these are the things that women have gotten involved in that eventually turned after Satan and are living a hellish life and no longer darken the door. I'm talking about people that used to ride on buses and pick up children for church. I'm talking about people that used to be involved in nursing home ministries. I'm talking about people that used to stand and teach a Sunday school class with an open King James Bible that absolutely are living hellish life. Where did it start? Where did it start? You know where it started? Idleness. You know where it started? Wandering. No purpose in life. You got a plan. Whose lives are you going to impact this week? Who are you going to be a blessing to? Who can you make a difference in their life? Go encourage somebody. Go visit somebody. Sit down and write a letter. Remember those things? You put them in an envelope. There's a stamp you put on it. You put an address on it. You send it in the mail. They walk to their mailbox. They get it. They read it. They cry. They're encouraged. Somebody cares. Somebody remembered me. Thank you very much. That's the good works we're supposed to be focused on, okay? Think about these things. Let's rededicate yourselves as ladies. Well, I went the wrong way there. Yourselves as ladies by doing the purposes that the Bible says are your purposes. Okay, and so let's be careful. Satan wants to misdirect young ladies from quietness to tattling. The Bible still says the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit is in God's sight a great prize. The Bible says the wise in heart will receive commandments. Are you receiving these, by the way? But a prating fool shall fall. Satan wants to misdirect Christian ladies from serving to snooping. A tattler will eventually become a busybody. Satan wants to get you to spend your time becoming a gossiping busybody. This type of a lady, a Christian lady, is a poor testimony for the Lord. And by the way, pretty soon you lose respect. You just lose respect from people that know you. So be careful. Say, preacher, is gossiping and tale-bearing really that big a deal? It's the sin of seven abominations. I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. We're going to spend a little bit of time in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 6. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. Okay? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6, it's got a list there of the things that God hates. There are seven things that are listed. These are abominations. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 16, yet these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. So God hates the six. If you do all seven, It's considered an abomination. Here it is, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, he that soweth discord among the brethren. Now, folks, listen to me. I'm telling you that the Bible teaches us that gossip violates all of the seven things. It creates that action in your life. You say, where's that at? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter number 26. Notice, if you will, in verse number 22, Proverbs chapter 26. And verse number 22. Proverbs 26, 22. The words of a talebearer are wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like potsherd covered with silver dross. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are what? Well, why is that? Is that a coincidence? Seven abominations. Where do we find a list of seven abominations in the Bible? In the same book, in the book of Proverbs. So he's saying, if you cannot control your mouth, your lips, if you're involved in this matter of tale-bearing, then you know what? You are committing seven abominations. All of those things you're committing. And so the Bible defines the tale-bearer. The word tale-bearer in the Bible comes from a Hebrew word that means to walk along or a pace, to be conversant, to wander abroad, to and fro, up and down. Tale-bearer is a man or a woman who walks among the people gathering information from them. Then they take this information and they spread it to others. We're talking about good things. Hey, you know what we did during prayer request time? You know what we do with our church prayer chain? We have people who express concerns. They do it. I need prayer. And then we give that information out to the church so that we can pray about those things. I'm not saying that sharing information is wrong, but it's not good information, or it's not information that's needful or helpful. It's information that's going to hurt people. Okay? The talebearer is condemned in the Bible. The talebearer is condemned in the Old Testament law, Leviticus 19:16. I'll read this. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. And interesting, he said that at the end, I'm the Lord. I'm the one telling you, don't do this. Number two, a talebearer's goal is to find out secrets and spread them. Proverbs 11, 13. Flip over there. Flip over to Proverbs 11, 13. If it's in Proverbs, I'll give you a second to find it. Proverbs 11, verse number 13. Notice this, very important that you get this. A talebearer's goal is to find out secrets and reveal them or spread them. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Talebearers likes to find out things that no one should know, no one should know, and then they spread it. They like to hear or overhear what should not be repeated, then repeat it. Come on, some of you young ladies got the bad habit of just slinking around the church and standing off in the distance and listening in on people's conversations. You need to stop that. Okay, if you're not being talked to, you shouldn't be slinking around. Problem is, you're going to hear part of a conversation here. You're going to hear a little fact here. And then if you're not careful, you've got all of this that then, watch this, they gather half-truths, partial conversations, secondhand information, and then repeat it as gospel truth. They love to appear to be the authority, the last word on everything. Well, I'll tell you what I know. Well, I'll tell you what they did. You don't know what they did. You overheard something you shouldn't have overheard. You know, you've got partial information going around crucifying people. Stop it. If it's bad news, why are you so excited to spread it? If it's bad news, why are you so excited to spread it? Well, let me ask you this. Why do you even know it? If it doesn't involve you, how are you in the loop? Well, you're in the loop because you're always going around. I'm trying to educate some of you because some of you are being used by talebearers. You think they're friends. They're not. They're pumping you for information. You better be smart, smarter with what you say and what you don't say. Okay, just somebody texts you, don't mean you have to answer it. Somebody calls you, don't mean you have to answer that. You'd be well served not to answer some. Okay? Once you figure out that all they're doing is just using, come on, tell bearer number three collects these secrets through flattery. Proverbs 20, verse 19. Nine chapters away. Go, go, go. Proverbs 20, verse 19. Talks about revealing secrets. He that goeth about as a talebearer, 20 verse 19, he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with them that flattereth with his words. See, they love to appear to be your friend or that listening, compassionate ear. So they can pump you for information. They convince you to confide in them to share what you know and how you feel about things. Then, you know what, they take this information, they use it for their own advantage or their own purposes. Come on, are you the go-to person? Come on, gossip girl. Are you the gossip girl in the youth group? And I would say this. We got a couple boys that's got me a little worried. This is a woman's sin. Some of you are running around doing the same thing. Stop it. Okay, stop it. You don't need to be the go-to person. Got all the information, all the inside track. You know all the dirt. You know all the dirt in the church. You know, everybody's business. Come on, Facebook stalkers. You know, everybody's business. And you're the first one to want to spread it around. Now listen to me. Watch this. You say, preacher, why are you hitting this so hard? Tellbearers then use their secrets to hurt people. It hurts people. Proverbs 18:8, a couple chapters away. You're there. Go ahead. Proverbs 18:8. We need to see these things. This isn't some little sin. If I said, hey, Brother Levi, there's a sin that if you commit it, you commit seven abominations before God. Man alive, I think you'd want to say, preacher, tell me what it is. I don't ever want to go there. I'm telling you what it is. Okay? Proverbs 18:8, the words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Proverbs 26:22, the words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Innermost parts of the belly. That means they go right into your very being. If you're to wound somebody that deeply, if there was something you do that could do that, why would you do it? I don't get this. One of the things that's hard for me to wrap my brain around. Gossip hurts people. Wounds them physically. Wounds them mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Okay, something's going on that's terrible in somebody's family. And you know what? It hurts them. That it's going on. They're already dealing with enough pain. And then you find out about it and you just got to make sure everybody in the church knows? What is wrong with you? No, what is wrong with you? I mean, you get a rush out of causing people hurt and pain? Stop it. By the way, I love the people in this church. I don't want them hurt. Stop it. Stop it. Okay? Gossip destroys unity. A talebearer enjoys creating strife between individuals. He or she enjoys causing division in the congregation. It pleases them to make someone mad at another person. Gossip destroys friendships. I often think this is done out of jealousy and envy. Talebearer sees two people who are good friends, so he starts being a run between two of them, get them to talk about or say something about one or the other. Then they run with that information. By the way, watch this. Usually an exaggerated version of the conversation. And to the other person to try to destroy that friendship. Why? Because heaven forbid those two are friends and you don't have a friend. Well, maybe if you'd stop being a stinking gossip, you'd have friends. Okay? A froward man soweth strife, the Bible says in Proverbs 16:28. And a whisper separateth chief friends. Now here's the question. Why does a talebearer do this? And somebody, please, explain this to me after church. Because honestly, one of the greatest mysteries of my life is, number one, why would you want to know something bad if you didn't have to know it? I'm a pastor. I have to be privy to some information. But if I don't have to be privy to it, I don't want to know it. I mean that. I don't want to know it. Well, you just want to live in this little la-la land where you ever think everybody's good. Yes, I do. Leave me alone. Why do you want to live in a world where everybody's bad? And by the way, the same little things that you pick out that might be going wrong, if you take a step back in the same family, there's a lot of things going right. Why don't you go spread that? Why don't you talk about that? I honestly cannot wrap my brain around this. First of all, I'm too busy to sit around gossip. And it has no interest to me. If I have to know something negative because I have to know it, and I can then take that and be a part of helping or solving or putting salve on a wound or being a voice of encouragement, then I'm glad to be a part of it. But to know it, just to know it and tell it, I don't get that. Okay? So be careful. Be careful. Ladies, you know what? In this portion of Scripture, God specifically says to ladies, you have to be careful that the devil does not pervert you in this area. This is a sin that once you get involved in it will cause you to turn aside after Satan. Other people have. They ignored the preacher. This isn't the first time I've preached this, okay? Blessed Old Baptist Church. They ignored it. They wouldn't do it. They just said, I'll be more sneaky about it. They didn't get to an altar and repent. They just kind of, you know, what the preacher's doing, he's shooting a shot over the bow. So what'll happen is things will simmer down for about 2 months. And then you know what? People that are dedicated to this sin, here they come again. Okay? I mean, there's some stuff. I'd already talked to Brother Young about it. I'm declaring war in our Christian school on some of this nonsense. And by the way, it's not just students that are doing it. I'm glad to have you as a monitor. But if your job as a monitor is to run around like a little teenage junior high girl and pick up gossip and spread gossip and cause discord and help turn hearts against authority, shame on you. Okay, you don't have the maturity to be in that level of ministry. Stop it. Stop it. That's not going to be this is not going to be a school where we turn out a bunch of tailbearers and gossips. Okay? You know, as authorities, come on, as teachers and monitors, you're going to see them be privy to some things. And you know what you need to do? Conceal the matter. You have to get on the phone before you even get out of the parking lot, calling 3 or 4 other parents and saying, well, let me tell you what happened at school today. You're a blessing. Thank you. I don't have enough to fix around here. Thank you. Stop it. All right? And some of you parents that are getting those ladies getting those calls, you know what you ought to say? Listen, I don't listen to gossip. I don't want to hear gossip. If this isn't my child, it's none of my business. Click. I mean, click. Why is that hard? Why is that hard? I've tried to answer the question by the Bible. Why do people just seem like they get a rush? I mean, this is like cocaine to some people. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. Where there is no tailbearer, the strife ceaseth. Okay? Why do they do it? Because they have a contentious nature. Some people just love drama. Some of you young ladies, you love drama. You need to get off that. Stop creating drama. Okay? Stop creating drama. Stop needing drama. Stop being always in need of attention. Always need to be the person that knows. Always needs to be the person that's telling it first. That's a wicked thing. All right? If that's where your mind's always at, you need a baptism of the Holy Spirit of God. Because they're trying to distract others from their own wickedness. Maybe if we can keep people talking about everybody else's sins and problems, they won't notice what's wrong with me. Maybe because they refuse to purge their lives of the 7 abominations, they're just wallowing in it, they're giving over to it, conscious, burned with a hot iron. I don't know. Because of a secret hatred held against others. Listen to me, I want you to listen. Most tailbearers are just miserable people whose life is filled with envy against happy, successful people. So they spend their lives trying to tear others down with their tongue. Now, if you want to live your life that way, God bless you. But you could shut your mouth and get busy and roll up your sleeves and make something of your life and help people and be a success, and you'd find you'd be happy. How is gossip stopped? How can we put an end to this sin? Seems to do so much damage to individuals, families, churches. What is the mature Christian response to gossip? Recognize the motive of the tailbearer. Ask yourself, when somebody comes to you, ask yourself these questions. How did they find this out? And why are they telling me this? And what will they do with my reaction to the news? Remember, if someone will come and tell you about what another said about you, the same person will go tell that person what you said about them. Never give them the benefit of a reaction. Recognize the sin of a tailbearer. Ask yourself, according to the Bible, what kind of a person does this? Your answer should be this. Someone who's a transgressor of the law, cares not if they wound others, is against unity, loves to destroy friendships, has a contentious spirit, and is hiding their own secret personal sins. That ought to be your answer. That's the kind of person that does this. recognize the heart of a talebearer. According to the Bible, there's seven abominations in their heart. They got a heart problem. And so be careful. You need to say this. You know who I'm dealing with? I'm dealing with someone who's filled with the seven abominations against God. I'm dealing with someone who is proud, deceitful, ruthless, wickedly delusional, given to mischief, dishonest, and a divider of good brethren. Why would you want to hang with that crowd? You know, recognize that the person who has carried this gossip to you is harboring a secret jealousy and hatred against the person they are gossiping about. Okay, never forget, a gossip will lie. That's one of the seven abominations. They will lie. They cannot be trusted. Any gossip is a liar. I promise you, if they can gossip, they can lie. All right? I guarantee you that whatever they're telling you has been either fabricated, exaggerated, or embellished. And all of those are a way of lying. You know what you do? How do you stop it? Rebuke the bearer of the tale. If every Christian would soundly rebuke the talebearer, it would cease. Okay, dads, this is where I'm going to come to you. This is where you sit down and have a talk with the wife. Who's calling you? Who's texting you? What are you listening to? We're not going to be a part of this nonsense. Your girl's always coming home from school and they've got the latest whatever on everybody else that's going on. Then daddy needs to set everybody around the table, time for a meeting. We don't talk about people in this house. We don't talk down people at this house. Where are you getting this information? Shut that off. I'm not going to raise kids that have seven abominations in their heart. This is a wicked sin. We're going to stop it. It's not going on in this house. Everybody clear. Man, that's called being a man. That's called being a leader. Okay? And you put an end to it. Okay? So you know, watch this. If every Christian would just soundly rebuke the talebearer, it would cease. Listen, why don't they call me? Hey, why don't they call my wife? Because, you know, they know what that we'll nuke them. Why do they call you? Why do they call you? Okay? Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. To where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. Look right up here. Say, preacher, you've been tough. We got to be tough on this sin. It's hurt so many families. Listen, I believe this with all my heart. There's families that should still be sitting in this church, and they got gossiped out of this church. And those of you that were involved in it are going to stand before God. You're going to stand before God because you couldn't keep your mouth shut. Okay, I'm running around behind the scenes trying to help people and fix people, and I can't get it done sometimes because of this going on. All right? Stop it. Stop it. All right? You know, where there is no wood, the fire goeth out. Go out camping, you build a fire, stop putting wood on it. You know what you'll find out happens in an hour or two? It's gone. Goes down to coals, then pretty soon it goes to dust, and then you know what? There's no more fire. So if there's nobody to listen to the talebearer, there's nobody to listen to the talebearer, then the talebearer has nowhere to turn to, nowhere to go. So you know what they'll do? They'll either stop or they'll go find another church where there's a bunch of gossips, and then they can do that, all right? My dad used to say this, so I'm going to say it. You take a rock and you throw it in a pack of dogs, the one that starts howling is the one you hit. Put your ear to the ground the next couple weeks. There's going to be some women rise up and start criticizing the preacher. It's not about what they're criticizing. It's because the dog got hit by a rock tonight. So husbands, if you get in the car and she's real quiet, halfway home she starts howling, I hit your wife. Come on, come on. Some of your teenage girls all of a sudden don't like the preacher for the next couple weeks because, you know what? Bam. I want this done. I want this done. I can't stop it. I want it done. You think you got a church full of gossips? I absolutely do not. Do you think we have some gossips? I absolutely know we do. And you're hurting this ministry, and you're hurting this church, and you're hurting your brothers and sisters in Christ, and you're hurting your children because they're being raised to believe that's normal activity. It's not. Glad you dress modestly. Now get your tongue under control. Okay? I'm glad you serve in some ministry here. Now get your tongue under control. I want you to be a part, but I want you to be a help. All right? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for the word of God. Lord, these are not the messages the preachers like to preach or want to preach. But Lord, if we're going to talk about the devil, we're going to have to get honest. The devil doesn't just destroy lives with drugs and alcohol and pornography. He's destroyed a lot of lives just because of loose tongues, gossip. Lord, may we talk good about people. Let's focus on the good. There's good. There's good. Lord, there's not a family in this church that doesn't have some heartache in the family. It's not an adult here that don't carry a burden. And Lord, to think that your brothers and sisters in Christ would just rally around you in prayer and love and understanding, boy, that'd be a good thing. It'd be a terrible thing to feel like that folks are just talking about you, talking about your family. What good is that? Lord, I pray, dear God, if we're going to talk about something that's going wrong, we'd just talk to you about it. We'd go to the throne of grace. We'd go where we can get some help, where that person can be helped. So, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help, Lord. This, I don't think, is a rampant problem in our church. I think one of the reasons it's not, preacher gets up and does from time to time what I did tonight. I thank God for men that are leading in their home. Keep a handle on this stuff. I just pray, Lord, that you'll help us all. Help us to love each other, root for each other. Help us to be glad for each other. If there is a heartache in someone's life, help us not to say a word about it. Get on our knees, beg God to help them and heal them, and turn the situation. Lord, I pray that you would use this sermon tonight to help us to redirect, ladies, to redirect their energy. If we can turn this off, then we can turn something positive on. Lord, I pray they'd go back to this chapter tonight and say, is my life filled with good works? Am I involved in good works? Am I being an encouragement, a blessing to the families of my church? Am I reaching out and helping the fatherless and the widows? What am I doing? What am I doing with my life? What's my plan this week? What's my purpose this week? Am I wandering? Am I idle? What do I need to fill my life with? What do I need to fill my daughters' lives with? How should I train them up? Lord, help us, dear God. Just get in line with the Bible. I don't want the devil to have a foothold. So help us, we pray in Jesus' name.